Oh God, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The multiverse is real.
Say that again.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Multiverse Monologues, the podcast show where we like to travel across the multiverses and fandoms that we love to talk about the movies and television shows to accompany those universes. I am your co-host, Ben Rayside, and welcome back to the Marvel Movie Marathon. We are so glad you've joined us for the fourth Marvel film in 2021 in that stacked backlog of films going in 2021. Yeah, yep. We were so hungry for new MCU content. And the MCU, Kevin Feige, he was so excited to give us that content. And so we have a very different Marvel film for you today in 2021's Chloe Zhao's Eternals, an ensemble cast that was meant to be a lot more than what it turned out to be. And it was not really well received back in the day either, but time has gone on since then. Time has gone on, just like it has in this film, all those 7,000 years that passed. Time's gone on now, and 4 years, give or take a few months, have passed since this one. And we're in 2025 now. I remember being a little positive on this movie, if you remember our very old review back in the day. But like I said, times have changed, gentlemen. And so have our opinions. So let's roll out the red carpet for the gentlemen who will be joining me on this Marvel Movie Marathon, as they always do. First and foremost is Mr. Ethan Wentzloff. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm excited to be here. And talking about a movie with an ensemble cast that is very boring and forgettable, on par, we have an ensemble here who will probably be very boring and forgettable. But I want to say this, because in the time of Multiverse Monologues, we have only gotten close to making the length of the podcast hit the runtime one time, and it was with Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. Guys, do you want to accept the challenge and do it today? 2 hours, 40 minutes, talking about Eternals. Can we do it?
I think I have just about that much to say, Ethan.
Okay.
I think that might just be enough time.
Just enough time. Just barely to gush straight on this movie for that long. Yeah. No, I'm excited. It's always good talking to you guys. Let's jump into Eternals, guys.
Always, always. And a guy who's, it's always good to talk to him, like Ethan said, is Mr. Micah Head. Micah, how are you?
I'm so excited to make a timeless podcast that we can craft together to bake and produce this, hopefully not turning evil podcast on each other, guys. I hope we don't change the material that we are provided here, and I just don't want us to fly into the sun when this all is said and done.
We might want to, though.
I might want to, but hopefully you guys can survive this podcast and the world doesn't explode.
Yes, that would be very,
guys,
very good.
This movie.
I know we're giving it away early, but man,
do you guys
we
haven't seen the Eternals?
If nothing else, there is certainly a lot to say on this there movie. Is. So let's get right into it, gentlemen. Let's open our sling rings and head over to the MCU once again.
Behold, the royal prince of Titan, brother of Thanos, the knave of hearts,
defeater of Black Roger,
the great adventurer, Star Fox of Mystery Planets.
What a pleasure to make your acquaintance, my fellow Eternals.
The Eternals, an immortal alien race, including Ajax, Cersei, Icarus, Thena, Kingo, Makari, Phastos, Druid, Gilgamesh, and Sprite.
Who?
Secretly live on Earth for thousands of years, only to reunite to protect humanity from their ancient counterparts, the Deviants, and face a deeper truth about their purpose. Their mission is further complicated by the human Dane Whitman, who becomes entangled in their cosmic struggle. Question mark.
That's not right.
He is really. Dane Whitman is in the film.
He FaceTimes them.
Turns out Gemini also didn't watch the movie.
Yeah. I don't know if we can think.
Did you not watch
this.
The movie, Micah?
No, I watched it.
Okay.
That is your plot summary for Eternals. A movie that was, again, like I said from at the beginning, very very critically panned at the very start. There are its defenders out there, but most people always see this as a it's a slog, it's very boring, and most people don't
Get.
I mean, infamously, the first MCU film to get a Rotten Tomatoes score. So it held that fame. Yeah, and I remember going into this movie, that was at top of mind. And I have to feel like I went to bat for this movie even before I even saw it. I'm like, I'm a Marvel fan. The critics are calling this rotten. And it was, you know, around the time after Scorsese was bashing on the MCU. So naturally, as an MCU fan, I wanted to hop in the ring and I wanted to fight for this movie. And I wonder how much of that led to my initial thoughts of enjoying it. When I went and saw this, I saw this with you, Ben. I did enjoy this when I first saw it. And I wonder how much of it was, okay, is it really as bad as people are saying? Let's see. And there were stuff to enjoy in this, and I grabbed onto that.
Yeah, I remember really wanting to like this, and I know that affected the review. Because, guys, as time has gone on, and we just watched this for the first time, I can see myself at that time being like, okay, I can grab onto it because it felt film bro-y, if that's a word, to like this one, you know, because it's Chloe Zhao, it's got a unique direction for sure in the MCU, and there's a lot of
good
big
cast.
They're big name actors, a good actually a great soundtrack, I will say, even to this day, that does not age poorly. But now it's just, I mean, we'll get into it, man, but I did not have fun with this movie. Did you, Ethan? Doesn't sound like you did.
No, I found a lot of this a drag to get through, and I did. I was excited to revisit this because there were things I remembered enjoying, and shots I remember liking, scenes I remember liking, characters I remember being drawn to. But this whole time watching it, I couldn't grab onto anything. It felt it just felt like, okay, we're here and I'm watching this movie and I don't really care. I think at the time it was cool to learn about the Celestials and learn about the lore that this established in the MCU. But now that I know the lore, I don't know if it's interesting at all to revisit. And I found even the character beats and moments that I enjoyed on the first watch, they came off pretty flat this time around. And I didn't even kind of see what it was going for this time. I felt like last time I liked a lot of what it was doing, but on this rewatch, it just felt very, very empty, all over the place, and kind of annoying in a lot of ways, where it tried to negate everything that came before by, okay, the world is at stake, the Avengers kind of suck, the Eternals, these are the cool guys, you know? What happened with Thanos, that was baby business to what's happening now. And it felt like a Getting the Band Back Together movie when we don't know the band, we don't care about the band, and there's a lot of the band. And most of them are pretty not that fun. So, I wanted to have fun with this, but I mainly just found myself, like, I checked. This must be a record for the marathon. I checked it, I think, 6-7 times to see, okay, how much more time is left? Are you kidding me? 48 minutes still? Oh, man. Oh, okay. So it felt long, and I didn't have the drive or the desire to finish this because I knew how it was going to end. It's going to end in a cliffhanger that I don't really care if they ever resolve.
A hairy cliffhanger.
Mm.
Yeah. So Ethan and I are drawing comparisons. I want to know, Micah, did you see this back in the day?
I did see this in theaters, and I'm pretty sure Phase Zero was in full swing at that point too. And I was in the news cycle. I was listening every week to
shout out Brandon Davis.
Yeah, BD. Yeah. Listening every week to see what they had to say about the previews and about the upcoming big movie. And I was just getting into I was just getting into the hobby of watching movies around this time. I think
you
did
start listening to Multiverse Monologues.
I did, yeah, and I think that was really what sparked my
love for us
for movies was the Multiverse Monologues podcast. Thank you guys.
We're happy to have sparked something.
Yeah, wow. These guys,
gotta say,
yeah. And I went into this with a lot of buzzwords on my brain. I had art house director Chloe Zhao. I had all these new actors and actresses that have been in other stuff, but are now getting a chance at everyone having an equally lead role in this, and a big ensemble cast. And, you know, you got, what's his name? The score, the composer.
Ramin Djawadi.
Yeah, and yep. He's back from Iron Man, and he did Game of Thrones since then, and everyone loves the soundtrack of that. And, you know, regardless of how that last season went, I think it was already out by then. There's just so many things looking up for this movie. A brand new direction for the MCU, maybe a more serious tone. There were whispers of a new multiverse happening in the MCU, and we weren't sure if this was going to be the one that sparks it right before No Way Home, right? So you go into the theater, and you get let down that there's no multiverse stuff, because that was the big thing at that time, was Loki, WandaVision, No Way Home is coming out. And none of that happens. So you're like, okay, whatever. Well, at least we still got the funny jokes every now and then, right? So it gets a big laugh out of the theater. Nobody takes the sex scene seriously. Nobody takes the gay jokes. Everyone's really laughing at those stuff. And people are just making fun of the whole movie in more ways than just that. There's the, whenever Athena turns, people are laughing at that. People are laughing at, what's his name? The Indian dudes. And they're Ingo. Funny. Yeah. And I think they're one of the best parts of the comedy bits, at least. But my main takeaway when I left the theater was they didn't understand it. I am too big brained. And I...
So you understood it.
I understood it because I am an awoken cinephile who watches like Richard Linklater and
Swiss Army Man.
And dude, I have seen movies. These guys, they've only seen Marvel movies.
Get your MCU bros out of
here. I am here to give a new perspective.
And what was that new perspective?
The new perspective was this was peak.
What didn't we get?
Back then it was peak. I don't know. I just like was really gassing up this movie at the time, and rewatching it now, I see what I was seeing. I get why. All right, I'm not going to lead into a good score here, but I get why I said that. On the very surface, this looks like a great movie.
Hmm.
It's got the cinematography. That's pretty good. But if you actually look at it, the blocking is terrible. Everyone's sitting COVID distance apart.
It's also...
Everyone's just looking at each other. Everyone's got their arms right on their sides. It looks like this is their first movie they've ever been in. Everyone's so nervous on screen. I mean, Angelina Jolie isn't, Salma Hayek isn't, because they're veterans. They've been in a billion movies.
Are they in the movie enough to
change it? Like, Athena originally wasn't even supposed to be a main character. She was supposed to show up a little bit, disappear. Salma Hayek just disappears. I mean, she dies, and then the very next scene is a flashback. There are elements, there are ideas of a great movie, concepts of a great movie here. And I think that's what Chloe Zhao is trying to go for. Her pitch, it sounds like, was amazing. It was the 7,000-year timeline movie that just somehow got developed and ripped apart and chronological, disorganized into some mishmash of something. I mean, it's so unintelligible at the end of the day. It's just like, especially the first half, once it gets a little more... You know, this, then this, then this. You can follow it, but at the end of the day, concepts of a good movie so much potential, and they just throw it away because of poor direction and I think studio interference. That's what I would claim here.
I don't know. Those two things are kind of almost an oxymoron, I would say. Yeah. I mean, sometimes they go hand in hand.
But it looks like
Chloe Zhao had a pretty good vision for this.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that it got Marvelified, if you want to say.
Because that's common for Marvel movies to get torn apart in the editing room and not have enough time to get everything they want. And I don't know. Chloe Zhao has only directed one thing, and wasn't it a documentary type movie?
No.
Nomadland?
I believe she was an Oscar winner.
Yeah, but she was an Oscar winner for Nomadland the year before. So they must have seen this early on or something and then got her in there to direct Eternals. Like, how do you go from some nobody 2 years ago to this.
See, we think that now because this has happened a lot. You get a lot of projects and a lot of new directors, but that's really the story of the MCU's success. Mm-hmm. A lot of those original directors, especially the Russo brothers who have gone on to make the biggest ones, they started out very small scale.
Yeah.
So it's getting someone with a vision who... And it sounds like Chloe Zhao had, and then putting them, giving them this grand scale, this big budget film, and say, all right, here you go. And sometimes directors can run with it, and sometimes it doesn't really work out that well. I don't really know what happened here with Eternals, you know?
Yeah, he did Community before. Yeah, and Russo like Brothers. They had done things leading up to the big movie, right?
No, but it's this idea ensemble. That these visionaries are... they have a lot of ideas. They seem to be good at what they do. Let's give them a movie and see if we can tap into this untapped potential right now. And yeah, it worked well with the Russo brothers because it might have been Kevin Feige. Someone saw the episodes of Community they did and said, those guys, let's get them in for a movie. They can do action really well. So I don't know. I don't know. It just isn't. I don't know, it just doesn't come together, and it's at this time where it feels like every movie we're thinking, well, that could have been a TV show, and then every show, it's like, that could have been a movie. What are they doing?
That's my line.
No. That's all of our lines. Totally agree. They're spanning 7,000 years. You have 9 main characters. No wonder. I mean, it's a miracle the movie is under 3 hours.
Yeah, at that point, you say 245. You can't do it in that time.
Yeah.
But it's almost like Zack Snyder's Justice League, except take out all the characters that you know from external media.
And
they're just random people. Yeah, right. Add 4 more. It's like everyone knows Batman. Everyone knows Superman. Everyone knows Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman. Like, they know of that. They're famous enough to where you can at least latch on to, hey, I recognize that. Here, you don't have that. So you really had to nail down something interesting to go for that ensemble aspect because the MCU did it great with the Avengers. And that was 6 people only. But this, you get people who you don't even know. I mean, give me an example of a great ensemble film with this many people that we had no idea prior knowledge to that actually works.
Well, I do want to push back a little bit on that.
Okay.
Because each of these characters are based on... A well-known character. You've got Icarus, you've got Hephaestus, you've got Athena, you've got Gilgamesh, you've got like classic kid character.
Athena,
you know,
drop the A.
Yeah.
Athena,
drop the A.
But then if you do that, you got to lean into that a little bit. They don't at all. They are those characters in name.
But
only.
Like it's like Thor. Thor is a Norse god, but we still get to learn who the Marvel character Thor is.
Yes.
You know, not just, oh, here's what Icarus, you know, Icarus is the dude who flies too close to the sun, right? And his wings melt.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that, not everyone knows that. So that's not enough to go off of. And it's cool, like in this world, like these real life in the Marvel world, these are real people and these legends were built off them. I think that's a cool concept.
Yeah. It gives you enough to kind of get you in the door and at least know their names. Like, I would not have remembered most of these guys' names if not for my Greek class, like my Egyptian mythology and whatever classes in middle school that I took. Like, and to go off your question, ensemble movies, I hate to compare it to the perfect ensemble movie, but Ocean's 11, each character is completely individual and... so charismatic,
but also
everyone knows each one.
They're not trying to, like, you know your few things about a character, but you're not trying to know the world about them.
Yeah.
In this movie, it feels like every character, they wanted to give a little arc in a way. So, like, I don't know who the computer guy, I don't remember his name in Ocean's 11, but you don't need to know where he started and where he is. You're just like, that's a fun character. He's in this movie.
Yeah.
Whereas these, it feels like everyone, they want to carry the weight of the world on their back. Right, everyone's going through these emotions and not are as well, you know, baked as others, but Circe has an arc, Sprite has an arc, Athena has an arc. Druig has an arc. Icarus has an arc. They're all trying to give them like full fleshed out stories, but we haven't even, we don't really even know who these characters are yet to get to that point. But I think to combat what you're saying, Ben, is, yeah, this is a lot of characters, but I mean, the Guardians has had five.
Yep.
They did a really good job at that, but I don't know to this scale, nine characters in a movie.
All introduced at the same time.
Yeah.
And because Into the Spider-Verse had what? Eight, maybe? Six? Something like that. I mean, there was a good handful.
Again, though.
Little quirks.
Spider-Man.
And they introduce him at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody knows Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the spin on this time? You know, that's an easy concept. But I like that you point to the relatability of the characters in Ocean's 11 here. It would be nice if almost any of these characters had a little bit of charisma or relatability to them. There are bits and pieces you can kind of take from each one of these characters, but holy catfish, is everyone so bland?
But Cersei's addicted to her phone.
Yeah,
that's relatable.
That's why Ethan liked Thunderbolt so much. I just sit on my phone.
Yes.
I know what I'm saying, though. You know, like, this is just...
It makes it
drag so much, like you said, Ethan.
Yeah, its biggest fault with the characterization is that at the beginning, the bulk of the characterization is supported by Sprite just saying what is going on and who is doing what. And like, there are lines at the beginning where Sprite's like, "Is that a deviant? They fly now? What?"
Yeah.
What? Like, literally just talking about and... Aren't you still sad about this thing that just happened? Why are you out of the whatever? Icarus is back? You know, like, ooh, didn't Icarus fly too close to the sun? Like, there are just lines like that all over the place. Oh, that's just a tale that Sprite made up.
Yeah.
Why is it all Sprite? Why is Sprite doing the heavy lifting, quote unquote, weak heavy lifting?
Yeah, because it's
for describing the characters.
Her performance is not good either.
Oh, no,
I'm not gonna lie.
Without looking at the IMDb page, I would have thought she was the same chick we saw in the New Mutants.
Ooh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, I would have thought.
Ooh,
Wolfsbane. I was like, wow, they brought her back.
Wolfsbane from New Mutants.
She was an Eternal.
Wow, I don't know, man.
No, it's just so dreary. The whole movie.
Yeah, so Druig,
and it's so Druig. Well, for real, like his stuff, like. It's so big. Like they even loop in that Fastos. Oh, we should have put Oppenheimer out here. They even looped in that Fastos. You know.
Sorry, I just forgot. That was like 2.5 hours.
He's blaming Hiroshima. Yeah, or he's blaming himself for Hiroshima. So, or Hiroshima, however you say it. How do people
say nukes?
It? Right, he's blaming himself for that, and it also it's dreary. It's sad. It's like we're supposed to sympathize with these beings. And the biggest problem for me with this movie is it felt like humanity is just portrayed as really, really stupid.
Yeah.
And we're just idiots and we can't have our own ideas. Everything anything good that has ever happened with humans, any advancement, we give it to Fastos. He's the one who did that. And maybe Druig, you know, it's just like, he's like inventing the engine or the plow. And he's like, well, I just invented the wheel like last week, so I better slow down. These guys are idiots. I don't know. It just felt really, 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 I felt insulted, especially with them opening within the beginning, just like Genesis 1:1 opens. It's like they're like, this is the origin of humanity. Screw your Bible. Screw whatever your life is. This is... I get it. It's fiction.
The beginning of the MCU timeline.
It's fiction, whatever. I don't know. I didn't have a good time. It wasn't fun for me to watch this.
I would like to push back a little bit on the humans being stupid, being a dumb plot. I think that helps to separate the Eternals from just the Avengers and the people, right? Because they are so much further above the humans in this. And I think it sets it separates them enough from the humans so that later on when the Celestial is threatening the entire life of the Earth, you can be like, oh yeah, it's been a recurring theme that the humans have been completely helpless without the Eternals. And here we can finally see the Eternals doing their job. They sat out all the wars. They sat out all the human conflict. And now they can finally redeem themselves at the end by doing what they thought their goal was the entire time, to save the human race by defeating this Celestial. And I like that. I like that. I think it could have been better, sure. But there are concepts of a plan here. The introduction of the Celestials, too, I thought was very, very beautiful visuals. I loved when they were flying through space talking about how Celestials consume planets. And then it brought up the ideas of the Celestial is what creates billions and billions of lives, and brings up the do we trade lives argument again. Like, do we trade all of Earth for the potential billions and billions of lives that even Kingo agrees with Icarus on? Like, our job is not to save these humans, but to save the potential futures of all of these lives that would have been created. And yeah, I think there were ideas, definitely. I bet the storyboard was good.
Probably. I would say the storyboard's probably sounds good for almost any one of these MCU films. And that was the big thing at the time. Mm-hmm. Our sentiments are pretty spot on to how it was back in the day. Doesn't look like much has changed.
Maybe
so,
you just don't get it, Ben. Maybe you don't get
maybe
it.
Maybe
don't. I'm just too big brain.
Dude.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Scores.
This is just a side note. So Arrow shows up at the end of this movie, Harry Styles, and he's technically an Eternal, Arrow says. And he references that Thanos is his brother. Him and Thanos look nothing alike. But what makes Thanos different, and do Rockstars confirm this, and I just looked it up, is that he has a deviant gene. So Thanos carries a deviant gene, meaning when he came to Earth, he was a deviant doing things on Earth, which negates them not getting involved. Like, that line's in the movie.
Yeah, wait,
but
what?
Now it just confuses us even more because he is technically a deviant.
Wow. That is, I think, the farthest anyone has ever gone looking into Eternals lore.
Did they also reference, did the Eternals reference that some of them also blipped?
I don't think so.
They're not humans.
I thought they said that.
They're technically not life.
Oh, that's true.
They're artificial.
That's true. They were just talking about it.
Made in a lab.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is this the worst MCU film?
Nah. What?
That was the, I remember before that week, I think it came out, Eternals is the worst movie in the MCU. I remember that headline coming out, and it was huge, because it was like, we were right along with our No Way Home hype.
Yeah.
I was eating up MCU content. Right. I think Hawkeye was debuting right around here too, as well. And man, seeing that was like, whoa. But now?
At the time, I would have said no.
But
yeah, that.
But now,
that's like, a good question to pose. So,
is it the worst?
What is its biggest sin? Like, what is?
It's boring as heck.
Yeah,
yeah.
It might be the most boring MCU movie. We've seen many, many more boring films, Marvel films, on this marathon. But as far as MCU goes, this is pretty boring.
They're not this long either.
Like,
the runtime doesn't help this movie.
No,
You know, rewatching these movies, that's been the fun part of this, is we've had kind of new things and new thoughts to take out of this. But I don't know if I gained anything more this rewatch that I didn't get the first time.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It was lessened this time because I was less interested by the characters, the world, and even the cliffhangers. Like, this is 4 years ago, and you're introducing Black Knight, you're introducing Harry Styles, you're introducing Blade off screen. We haven't had any follow-up to that, any of this stuff. So it's kind of, we did have Captain America 4. I want to reference that. But it feels empty. It feels like empty calories that I spent on this. And I even voiced this in a review I wrote. But I watched it, and I think I could sit in a room and agree with 10 other people. Can we just pretend this never happened? I'd be okay with that. I haven't said that about any other Marvel movie, but this one I'd be okay with. Let's just leave it, because I don't need resolutions to this. I don't need you going out of your way giving me resolutions to where these characters are, what they're doing. Pip the Troll, Star Fox. I don't know. I'm not there yet, especially with the movies we're getting now and the quality of them. I don't want you to go above and beyond to do this.
Yeah.
And I think the worst part about that is that it tries so hard to root itself in the MCU, like make these huge things that are unavoidable. You have to bring them up again later on. You got this huge celestial in the ocean, like the world was threatened. Yeah. The Avengers weren't there. What are the consequences of that? You've got these Eternals that have loose threads. You've got Eros now, the brother of Thanos in the MCU now, ready to go. Is he good? Is he bad? I don't know. You've got Blade. You've got all these characters are deeply rooted now in the MCU. Once you introduce them, you can't take them back out. These elements are there now.
Right.
They exist. They're introduced. And they're never picked back up after this. I mean, the Celestial a little bit. What was that? What did it come up in again?
Captain America 4.
4. Yeah. That's right. I forgot that movie too.
Whoa, spoiler.
Whoa, guys. It's just so meaningless. And like you were saying, you didn't pick up anything extra this time around. It's the kind of movie where you think there's going to be something extra the next time around. But there's no plot twist. There's no, like, deeper meaning. There's no... Everything's so surface. It just tries so hard to get the surface level across because it's just fire hose of information the entire runtime that just doesn't mean anything to us. And you get to the end and you're like, great, I'm kind of caught up and now I'll never see these guys ever again.
It doesn't really conclude either.
No, it doesn't.
Arishim, right? It's the Celestial's name. Arishim shows up and he grabs... who's he grab? He grabs Cersei, Kingo, Sprite with him?
No, Sprite. No, yeah.
Yeah, Sprite was also on
Earth. So those three, grabs those three, brings them up, says, I'm going to judge you now. And Dane Whitman's just sitting there like, whoa, that was crazy. So, it's just empty. It feels really, really empty, and I'm not... That's what's been hard about these past few marathons. Is I hate to do this. I hate to sit down and just say, man, I just wasted some time. But I felt like watching this, I did waste time that I could have spent doing other things or watching a different movie.
Right, exactly. That's the hard part, you know? Mm. Not that I don't love doing this, but you only have so much time nowadays to watch even a single film. And when it's something like this, let's just say the next couple weeks are going to be a different story.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for those.
That's going to be nice.
One last thing about closing up loose threads or whatever at the end of this movie. Why'd they turn Sprite into a human at the end? That completely removes her character from anything at the end.
Wait.
And then she's just on her phone. That's it. She's just a moody teen.
That's what it means to be human, Micah.
You know, she's 7,000 years old and she's human now, and she still acts like a moody teen.
Dude, I will just say there's a lot of questions that come up if you
have
really
questions?
Start thinking about that.
So it was interesting in the context of Thanos. He snaps the universe, half the population evaporates. And Ajak even says it in this movie. She says, Thanos delayed the Celestial's birth. Yeah. If that, it's never said in Endgame, but if that was Thanos' plan, was to stop Celestials from being born, he's the good guy.
Dude.
Is he not?
Dude,
is he the goat? Wait a minute. Hold on now.
He's the good guy.
Dude, that was his whole plan?
He's
the
only one
he
who
would
understands
know,
this.
He would know about them in a way. Because he's an Eternal, technically.
Wow.
Okay.
Too much thought.
Hold on, though.
Yeah.
We've spent this whole time, however long it's been, dogging on this film, all right? Okay. let's say, I want you to say one good thing about Eternals. If you've got multiple, go right ahead. But Ethan, I want you to say one good thing about this movie, because it's not all bad, I would say. It's not all bad. But if you can think of one good thing that happens during the 2 hours and 39 minutes that happened.
Is this favorite scene, or is this just...
No, just I want you to say something positive before we roll in.
Give it
in
a compliment.
There, you know? Give it a compliment.
Druig. I thought Druig. I liked him the first time. I thought he was pretty good this time. And his story didn't work as well for me this time, but it is relatable. It is this idea where I can stop war. I can help people. But it's this idea of... No, we need to learn through our failure. We need to learn and grow. Yeah, every painful thing we've ever been through has shaped who we are today. And that's played into his story where he doesn't want to see people go through that. He wants to help. He has the power to help, to stop conflict, but he has to wrestle with his own emotions to let that play out and let that happen. It's morally a really cool idea, and the way he wrestles with it is good, and Barry Keoghan plays it really well. Mercari, I also like Mercari. I think they don't spend too much time together. Mercari, she's the deaf character. Who's she played by, Micah? Lauren
Ridloff.
Ridloff.
Mercari.
Yep, from Mercari, from she's from The Walking Dead. Season 9, they brought her in. One of the better additions towards the end of that series. But, I like her. I like the way her powers are displayed. And I think a few of their powers are displayed pretty cool. But, yeah, those are my two compliments, Ben. A few characters are cool.
I like it. And I mean, we'll get to more when we get to favorite scene and favorite character, which we'll do right after this. But, Micah, say something good.
Something good. I really liked the... cinematography sometimes. Like, you'll see some of the best cinematography ever, and then you'll see some of the most dog awful.
Arishem. Those scenes with Arishem, dude.
Yeah, the scale.
Yeah.
The scale was so awesome.
Mike, I am bummed you didn't watch the IMAX Enhanced.
Did it do the cool, like...
Because I did.
Yeah.
And it's whiplashy. The shots that are IMAX and the shots that aren't, it got me questioning, okay, why is that in IMAX? Why is this not? It's just random. Like, there's a street shot towards the beginning that's IMAX, and then it's not. I don't know. It felt more distracting than anything in this.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that it's Chloe Zhao. Like, she had no idea what to do with the IMAX thing. Mm. It's not just, like, record your whole thing in IMAX and then do it.
We had to redo the scene. We had to reshoot it.
Yeah, dude, the pickups in this movie are insane.
Yeah,
like right at the end too. Like right before.
We're complimenting the movie, Micah. We're complimenting the movie.
My favorite part is when they finish a scene and they don't know how to end it.
Talking to the mic.
That was a side note.
Exactly.
You said it looked good sometimes.
Every time there's a sunset,
which is kind of not a compliment.
Yeah, every time there's a sunset, like they just. The camera goes crazy.
Yep, that's true.
They got silhouettes going, and people are walking, and people are reaching right in front of the sun. And
it's a half compliment. Good cinematography sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, blew me away sometimes, which...
That's true.
Some of these Marvel movies have nothing. So that was a compliment.
There you go. Good.
Like, what did Andy Serkis pull off in Venom? Let There Be Carnage. Were there any shots that blew you away?
Bro, There Be Carnage. The lightning scene. That one
tornado.
That one shot. Why am I complimenting that movie?
He pulled off getting a paycheck from Sony. That's what he pulled off in that
movie. Gotta compliment him on that.
Yeah, like there are elements of what would be in the storyboards, like in a comic book page.
Yeah.
Really great frames that don't last very long, and they don't linger on very much. It just moves so quick. I wish they would stay on those great shots for even longer and just... put some dialogue over it. I don't care. Let me look at the beautiful scenery.
Yeah. Yeah. Cersei and Kit?
Icarus? No, his name's not
Icarus.
Kit.
Icarus. I know. That's Kit from Cinderella. I thought they both were pretty good. Yeah. I liked them. When they were on screen, I was happy. Mostly because I like Richard Madden, I think is his name. I really like Gemma Chan. So, I thought they were great, and I don't know. I do like some shots. The Arishem shots were cool too.
Dude, the cinematographer did Three Billboards, who is also the director of Banshees,
Ooh.
And he did the cinematography for Banshees, and Guardians and Captain Marvel.
So he's good at doing bleak
Kraven
bleak cinematography. Kraven, come on. No way.
Yeah.
Ethan.
As if you couldn't think of anything better.
If we don't already know, favorite character.
Favorite character, I'm going to go with...
Pip the Troll.
Mahershala Ali Blade.
Oh!
He has a voice cameo. No.
Because that's the only time you'll ever have the chance. Because we'll never...
You know what? I'm going to go... Who am I going to go? I mean, Druig's easy.
Right.
Makari's easy. I'm just because we have Angelina Jolie in the MCU, I'm going to go Thena. Thena's my favorite character.
Chump.
Chump, I know. Call me what you will.
Thena?
Thena.
What?
Well, she's struggling with Mad Weary throughout the movie. You know, that brings some layers to it. She's going insane, and you're wondering why. But it's really because the Eternals, every planet they go to, their memory's wiped. And she's getting visions of her old memory. They're coming back. So that's why she's getting a little crazy in certain scenes. So, go Thena. Why not?
Wow.
Nice.
Micah, favorite character?
Favorite character? Gotta go Festus because he was doing the cool. I think out of all the movesets, I think his had the most potential. And he holds down Icarus Thanos style at the end. I thought that was kind of cool. But I don't know. Between him and the underutilized speedster, there could have been some really elevated...
Does it bother you that the man called Fastos isn't the fast one?
Yeah, why'd they shorten it to Fastos? Why not like half?
Yeah, because
It's half a movie.
Dude.
Let's get a 5-hour cut. Snyder cut.
Yeah, right.
The Chloe Zhao cut.
Gemma Chan Cersei. She's my favorite. She's got the most to do and shows the most emotion. That's
and
my
she's
favorite
from
character.
Captain Marvel.
Disagree.
That's why.
It's her second Marvel.
No, that's because she's from Doctor Who. That's why.
So good.
That's why. Ethan, favorite scene.
Favorite scene, I'll go when Makari was getting to do her speedster powers. It was cool. Then, when I first saw it, when she's beating up Icarus, and then rewatching it, it was not. It was still cool. It wasn't as cool.
No.
It was a lot shorter
than I remember.
Around.
Yeah.
But I liked that. That was my favorite scene.
Nice. Mr. Hutt?
Wait, so you're saying your favorite part about was when she ran at the end?
When she was
beating up
Icarus.
Icarus?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's my favorite moveset. And the first time they showed it, the very end of the movie, loved it.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect.
So good.
So peak.
Because I remember the movie's almost over. That got me
getting excited. You're like, oh,
they're beating up Icarus. Let's go.
I saw this clip on Twitter. People said it was great.
I think we would all be lying if when that whole end sequence ended, we were all like, all right, we're in the home stretch.
Final act.
Let's go.
How many pause breaks? This is a good time to do this. How many pause breaks did you have in this movie?
I watched this between 3 days.
I watched 30 minutes on the way to work on my iPhone and then realized I couldn't do that. So then.
Because you had to pay attention to it too much.
Right, right. That's why.
Too locked in.
And then I paused it 4 times while watching.
Wow.
The sit down version.
I didn't pause it at all, but I mean,
I mean, you had to pause it.
Well,
are you telling me for 4 days straight you played it on loop?
Yeah, I just couldn't get enough.
Dude,
just wait till these logs roll in on Letterboxd. You're going to see six.
Six logs.
I watched this very late last night. Like, I finished it at midnight.
Well, it sounds
and
like you watched
it. I was trying to stay awake. I paused it. I had to go get food to keep me awake because
it
I was
starving.
Going to fall asleep. Yeah.
He couldn't make it through.
I was starving.
Famished.
Mine was four. Contents. 4 times I paused that and came back. It wasn't long breaks. I watched it all yesterday, but I, you
took
know,
me the whole
break,
day. But
get some water. Stretch. Do some stretching, go on a run.
Go on a run, yeah.
Pray for strength.
You need it.
Lord, help me through this.
Did you ask me what my favorite scene was?
I did ask you that.
Yeah,
yes.
Real quick, just the celestial thing. I thought that was, when they were explaining it, the CG and just the backstory, the lore. It was pretty cool. Set the stakes. Set the next 2 hours to be somewhat watchable.
Druig's scene, his big scene, and
I thought it was cheesy.
don't know. His big moment?
Yeah.
When he like takes over and stops the war?
You guys liked it.
I like that moment. I do. I like that.
Mike, that is one take I will not fight you on.
All right.
You can have
awesome.
That.
I don't know. Just seeing him in Banshees, I was like, he could have been way creepier, couldn't he?
In this?
I don't know.
It was what he was going for, though. Like, I actually really liked that
scene. He executed it perfectly.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
He did execute it perfectly. All right. I'm going to steal your line. Micah, give us some numbers. I want to see some numbers for Eternals.
All right.
I remember this movie not doing well at the box office.
So, the Eternals. Rotten Tomatoes critic, our infamous 47%.
Ooh.
Oof. Audience, 72%. Metacritic, 52%. User, I think that's also a 52%. IMDb, 6.3.
That's a 62
right now? Oh, okay. Letterboxd is a 2.8 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
Averaging out to a 58.
That's old, too. That Letterboxd score is lower now.
Dang, I got to...
Is it really?
I got to update these scores. Honestly, do I care enough? We got like 5 movies left.
Micah, don't have that energy
just
because these movies are
draining give in.
You.
All right. And then the money. Oh, wait. It was ranked. Here we go. Where's it at?
Hollywood Reporter. Tell me it ranked it high. I know it did. No,
dude,
it probably didn't.
34. That's in the top half.
Out
that's
of
too
70
high.
Is
out
on
of 70,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Average wait. Ranking, 56. So it's in our internet's bottom half for sure.
Yeah.
Where is Eternals 34?
34 on the Hollywood
Endgame
Reporter.
Is?
Dude. Endgame is...
What is Endgame?
Pretty much peak.
In the Hollywood Reporter ranking for this?
Then we're making them hunt for it. Hunting. There it is right there.
36.
Oh!
Dude.
So it goes Eternals,
this movie is better
Endgame.
Than Endgame.
First Class.
100%.
Blade 2.
Oh! Peak.
Dude.
Black Widow. Go check out the Hollywood Reporter ranking for Marvel films.
It's just so good.
And then cringe. How much did it make?
All right, so its budget was a whopping...
Got to be at least 200 mil.
200 mil.
Is it actually 200?
Yeah, 200 mil.
Ooh.
And it made 402, so technically a
wow,
success.
That's better than I thought.
Made some
barely,
money. Barely, yeah.
Barely made its money in twice.
Ugh.
I mean, not much else to say.
I mean,
it was a huge... It is the ever-growing budget. Like, they've just locked in the 200 mil budget for these Marvel movies.
Holy cow, man.
Like, it's just 200 mil from here on out, pretty much.
Yeah.
Insane.
Wow. Mm-hmm. They gotta be money laundering somehow.
That's what I'm doing.
Wow. You must be making a lot of money.
I am. That's how this podcast runs.
Who cares about those scores, though, gentlemen?
We've got some real scores here.
That's right.
The scores that you all care about, the ranking,
the reason
you're above all rankings, the scores that will be eternally accepted as fact.
Dude.
Until we have a change of thought, change of opinion in a few years.
Not a lot.
Ben, you mentioned that you gave this an 8 before.
I did. I think I did give
Ethan,
this an 8 back in the day.
What was your prior score?
My prior score was a 6.
A 6?
Three out of 5 before
log for this?
Watching this.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
But that's a bit generous. Like I said, we wanted I wanted to bat for this movie when it came out. I wanted to be like, you know what? I'm a Marvel fan. I'm a Marvel fan with a podcast. I'm going to love a Marvel movie, actually. You guys are all dumb. This movie's peak. But now watching it after I have a lot more movies under my belt and a lot more Marvel movies under my belt, I didn't have a good time with this. I found most of this, if not all of it, really, really boring. And not just the story, but the characters I found boring, the character designs I found boring, the power display I found boring, just everything looked so dreary and just it wasn't I didn't get anything out of this movie.
See,
and
you didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
You didn't get it. That's the problem. It's exactly what it was going for.
So and it executed it.
And it executed it perfectly.
So
come
good.
On.
Okay. Well then Micah, when it's your time to shine, go ahead. But no, I haven't felt this throughout this whole marathon with the MCU films, at least, that, okay, this movie, we can just forget it, blow it up. There's nothing here, no characters. I don't need to see any of this built on. And I felt that after this. So with all that, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10.
Oof.
Oh, no, no, a 4.
Oh.
4 out of 10. 4
2
out
of 10.
Two is a bit low.
Yeah, that was offensive.
It's dragged down by how long it is. I think there are some fun moments in here, some character moments that stand out. Some scenes of action are watchable. But most of it I found really, really, I found it a drag.
Yeah.
A lot of this really, really annoyed me. But a 4 out of 10, you know, it's not quite the 5. It's not middle of the road. It's actively a little bad.
Show me what's around 4 out of 10 for Ethan.
Yeah, show me.
Yeah, what's in that club?
So Ben, Ethan has 4 fours right now. He's got Elektra, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, Punisher Warzone. Totally disagree with that one. Eternals, and then our 4.5s are Ghost Rider and Venom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
It's in pretty bad
Elektra
company.
At a 4 feels high.
Kind of does, man, on the retrospect.
Yeah. But hey, I haven't rewatched that since we watched that. So
hey, man.
I guess it sits at a 4.
I don't know why. I kind of like think of Elektra as like a fond memory. I don't know why.
To revisit those early,
you know,
Marvel.
Just one day.
See.
Okay, Micah. Don't get too ambitious here.
Guys, am I getting nostalgic about the early podcast?
Dude.
Back when the movies were bad and there were no consequences for it.
Yep.
Back
that's
before
true.
You were married.
There wasn't a $200 million consequence.
It was before you were married, Micah.
That was an eternity ago.
Dude.
Saying your marriage has felt like an eternity?
Oh, man. It's been great. Not
spoken
gonna lie.
Like
it's
a
been
true.
Great.
I said, yeah. Go
man.
Ahead, Ben. Segway.
Who is married?
Ethan's like, get
Micah.
Me out of here.
I want to hear your score.
All right,
and it better not be a 4 out of 10.
Why not? Why can't I also give it a 4 out of 10?
You are not. You're all not right. allowed.
So
sorry.
You're forbidding him to give an honest score, Ben.
You can't give a 4. You just can't give a 4. You can give it a 3.9 or a 4.1.
I gave Rise of the Silver Surfer a 4 as well.
Ooh. What did I give Fries at Silver Surfer?
Like an 6?
Yes, dude.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Dude, because of Silver Surfer. That's why.
Yeah.
That's where I want it.
So I do want to add, all of us gave Captain Marvel a score in the 5s, just about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our lowest
MCU film.
That is our bottom MCU film. And
that's true.
This was significantly worse than Captain Marvel. I don't remember being bored by Captain Marvel. I remember it being...
Or this tired.
Yeah. It's the runtime. It boils down to the runtime. I blamed it on a bunch of stuff before, but they needed to tighten it up. They needed to get me to care about these characters. They needed to make the stakes for the actual characters feel real. And they needed to give us some cohesion between scenes because they didn't know where to take the... The scene ends abruptly because they do a pickup CG shot of some dude flying, like Icarus flying away, or they just time jump. Like they kill off What's-Her-Face, Salma Hayek.
Ajak.
And then literally the next scene is a time jump to where she's back again.
Flashback. Yeah.
And what are we talking about? Why are we doing this? So her death meant nothing.
Story-wise, like
because we're still seeing this character. We don't know who this is. If it were chronological... all right, these are the ways they could fix this movie. If it were chronological and about 40 minutes shorter and maybe half as many characters, we might have like a 7 and out of 10.
That sounds like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wait, what?
No way.
But instead we get this... We'll go 3.7 out of 10... Slop fest.
3.7.
And
it's only because it looks kind of good sometimes when they're not just standing next to each other 6 feet apart because they don't want COVID. Like, did you guys notice that?
They're all huddled around.
They have a couple hero shots, too.
Oh, yeah. A couple. Yeah. There's like six.
Dude, if it's any excuse for Ram and Jawadi to play that Eternals main theme, I'm in.
Is it that good, Ben?
I love that theme.
Is that good?
I actually really like that theme. And that
well, a good score took, what was it, Dark Phoenix up to a six for Ben.
So it was because of Hans Zimmer, okay?
Let's see how good of a musical, how far this musical score gets this movie.
Well, I'll tell you this right now.
For Rise of the Silver Surfer, Ben.
I like the Silver Surfer theme.
Wow.
But that's the only recognizable theme in that movie. The Fantastic Four theme. Dude, it's already the definitive theme for Michael Giacchino, the one that he made for the new one, and it's not even out yet. So that should tell you all you need to know. I couldn't even tell you. Dude, what even?
They're just recycling themes for the July movies, huh?
I guess so. Yeah, right. I think I'm gonna give a higher score than both of you guys on this because I don't hate it. I don't hate it as much as you guys do. I definitely did not have a good time though. It's ensemble filmmaking, but you don't care about any of the characters pretty much, except for a couple of them, which I do. Honestly,
you don't care about any of them, but I do.
But I kind of do about a few of them.
No, Cersei. I genuinely like. She's great. Mostly because I like Gemma Chan.
Great. That's.
I don't know about great, but
it's okay.
I like Gemma Chan. Gemma Chan is great, and she plays.
She's not gonna like you back,
dude. I'm not looking for that. You know, I'm not looking for that at this point in my life.
But like at another point in your life,
at one point I'm going to
ask me 4 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right. Maybe. When this movie came out,
weren't you still dating Sam though?
Oh man, dude, I've been dating Sam for forever,
eternity.
Just like Cersei and Gemma.
Oh gosh,
Cersei and Gemma.
So
Icarus.
I was looking back at my other scores because I really was hoping that you guys would sway me one way or the other. And I think I was swayed. I was swayed by you
but
guys.
But downward.
So I was looking and I was like, you know what? What's another ensemble film cast that kind of takes characters that you kind of know something about and it's just a really bland superhero film that we had good memories of at one point in time? And I was thinking back to our experience with X-Men First Class.
Yeah!
And I was like, wait a minute. What score did I give X-Men First Class? A 5.5. You know what? That's a good score for Eternals.
Look at this.
5.5. I was floating around a 6, 6.5, but I think your guys' comments are
and anyone
confused, helping me.
Go rewatch X-Men First Class and tell us that it's a good movie.
Dude,
it's a good movie.
There are people who think that movie is the best X-Men movie. Over Days of Future Past, over Logan.
Unbelievable.
How is that possible? It's not. You're fake. I'm sorry.
Rewatch it. That's my advice.
Michael Fassbender is the only good thing about that movie.
Wow, and he is good. Holy catfish. So, with a score of 5.5, 3.7, and 4.
That's my line.
Sorry.
We got an average of 4.4 out of 10. He was just so excited to get that 5.5.
To get done.
Guys. I sorted for best score to worst score, and I wish we could see it on the top, but unfortunately, I got to look towards the bottom here.
Do you wish you could see
guys,
it on the top?
Guys, we have beat Howard the Duck.
Oh!
58th place goes to Eternals. 59th place, Howard the Duck. 60th place, Dark Phoenix.
Dang.
61st place, New Mutants.
Wow.
62nd, Elektra. 63rd, Venom Let There Be Carnage. 64th, sorry, whatever points we're on. Fanforestick, then Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. That's
guys,
our bottom.
Guys, back-to-back weeks having two movies in the bottom 10.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Eighth place from the bottom.
Oh.
9-10. Hulk is now 10th place from the bottom.
Good job, Ang Lee.
Dude. This is a bottom feeder, and according to our list, Eternals is the worst MCU film
that
watched so far. When's the next the next MCU film on our list? Ranking.
It's Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel was our next lowest at 5.1.
At 5, okay.
That's a significant been a lot further if not for Ben's
carried,
you meddling kids.
Dang. Carried 5.5.
And then after that, in case you guys wanted to know, so it's Eternals, Captain Marvel, The Incredible Hulk, and then our Love and Thunder score is in there.
But that'll
we won't
change.
Spoil
Ooh,
that.
Back in the day.
Yeah, it'll go way back up. So don't even worry about that.
Oh, I love that I'm that low.
Then it would be Dark World.
I'm going to be even lower.
Which Dark World, we were pretty positive on that last
time. Okay. Listen.
For third place,
bro,
from the bottom to be a 6.5.
For
that's
MCU?
Not, yeah, for MCU, that's not bad.
The positive. Dark World is not a bad movie.
Not
I'll
a bad
tell you
Marvel
right
movie.
Now.
Yeah.
It MCU film? Yeah, it's one of the worst. But when you compare it to the wide, you know, spanning universe of the Marvel movies that we've been exploring. But Micah, I want to pause you real quick because you said a second ago, unfortunately, this is so low. Just elaborate on that. Why is it so upsetting that it is this low?
On paper, this movie could have been so great. I mean, you got the new direction, the ensemble cast. We've talked it to death. You
different
got
ideas.
You bring back the score from Iron Man, right? You got all that original MCU elements. Like, it could have been so good. Brand new director. Actors that are just getting out of the gate and just
Right, and I think it's good to say this, is the three of us, when we saw this coming down the pipeline, I think we were excited. We were excited
I mean,
to rewatch this
beginning.
Movie. We wanted to rewatch this movie. And then when I sat down and I got 10 minutes into it, it just all that excitement left. And it's upsetting because we like movies. We like Marvel movies. This one just drained us, all three. And that's annoying and that's frustrating, especially with us who are usually like, hey, we watched a movie. That was great. Or at least we get to talk about it.
I was really hoping it would be another Shang-Chi situation where we remember, oh, yeah, that was all right. And then we watched it and we were like, yeah, that was all right. It was worth it, you know? But it just wasn't. It wasn't.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It is.
It is. It is. But that's in the rear mirror.
What?
Guys, I can't believe what's
rear
coming
window?
Up next.
Dude, because during this time, man, there has been hype afoot for over a year.
There have been
teases.
No way.
And trailers for Spider-Man No Way Home, the capper to the Tom Holland trilogy of Spider-Man films. That is next up on the docket. This is probably the movie I've seen the most since it came out. I've revisited it many times. I'm an outspoken No Way Home enjoyer. So I'm really interested, though, to see what happens because this movie has gotten a lot of hate since its debut.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I'm wondering if the theater aspect of it is going to be completely obvious and just dog the whole movie. That's what I'm worried about.
No, my thing is, though, I don't think... Ben might, but I think me and you, we won't love it as much as we once did. But I still think we're going to have a really good time.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember there were some great Willem Dafoe moments.
Oh,
man. Great Peter Parker, you know, Tom Holland moments. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm excited.
It's going to be fun.
I cannot wait. This is a movie I'm going to probably watch with other people. This is my sister's favorite Spider-Man movie, I think, ever of all of them. I don't know if I'm there yet. This rewatch will solidify it because we got two big ones coming up.
It's hard to beat Spider-Man 2.
Hard to beat Spider-Man 2. It's hard to beat Into the Spider-Verse. It's hard to beat Across the Spider-Verse. Man.
Dude, this made gangbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
We'll talk about it next week.
Same bad
That's
time.
Right. Same bad channel. For now, this is Ben Rayside.
This is Icarus.
And this is Superman.
Signing off. We all hope you have an absolutely fantastic day.